I'm Richard Burton. This is my voicemail from the void. Mirrors lie, but always politely. They show us what we wish, with tiny deviations, like a chess player hiding pawns in the corners. I sometimes converse with my reflection. It has better stories than I do, and is slightly less intoxicated. Do not tell Elizabeth.
Hotel. Drug of the day today is exobenzotrilithium hexafluoratamine. Officially, it's prescribed for restless interior monologue syndrome, but no one really knows what it does. The pamphlet, which is folded in 17 directions, is written in a typeface so small it looks like dust. It lists some of the more common side effects, which are a sudden fluency in a language that no one else speaks. Inexplicable, enthusiastic applause heard at inopportune moments in one ear. The distinct memory of a taste you've never actually tasted, usually similar to apricot. And a mild but disconcerting talent for predicting which floorboard will creak before it does. Take 3 times a day with water and a Greek salad.
There is a new object in the museum at Moth Hotel. It sits alone in a glass case that fogs slightly, as if the air within is colder than the hall around it. The object is modest in size, 47 centimetres tall, 20 across, but no one has been able to agree on its weight. The attendants say it is heavy when lifted, like stone or iron. Visitors who've touched it swear it was almost feather-light, like hollow bone. It looks at first like a small grandfather clock, but where the pendulum should be is a jar of murky fluid, and suspended inside the jar is a single pale eye, unblinking. The clock face bears no numbers, only scratches that resemble tally marks. Each day there seems to be one more. No one has seen the hand move. The object was donated anonymously, accompanied only by a typed note. This once belonged to the sea. Now it belongs to you. The handwriting on the back of the note was stranger still. Slanted symbols, repeated in a pattern, as though someone was trying to copy a language that they had only half remembered. The curators insist that the object is not dangerous. The cleaners refuse to mop beneath it.
I shall now read the minutes of the last meeting. Item 1. The concept of space-time was briefly suspended to allow for tea, biscuits, and a wormhole, which appeared briefly in the boardroom. Item 2. We received a visitor who claimed to be from the Program Prevention Department. He brought no ID, but his general demeanor was proof enough of his dark intent. He was taken to one side and left there. Item 3. Bernard proposed a new theme tune for Moth Hotel, which consisted of a low humming noise and the sound of marching boots on gravel. We voted not to use it. Bernard then behaved very unprofessionally and had to be removed by security and taken to the kicking room. Item 4. Once again, there was a strange green light coming from under the boardroom door. It pulsed like a heartbeat and smelled faintly of rotten eggs. The board chose to ignore it. Item 5. We discussed various monetization strategies for the Moth Hotel podcast. Suggestions included floating on the stock exchange, floating on a fishing lake, and floating off the coast of the Seychelles. No decisions were taken. We shall revisit this. The meeting was adjourned when one of the houseplants audibly broke wind.
Moth Hotel.
Please continue to hold. Your call is important to us. Due to a recent reorganization, your query may be answered by either the Department of Echoes or the Division of Regret. Both are equally unhelpful. You are currently number 356 in the queue. If you're calling to complain, please file your grievance in the form of a poem and then burn it under a waning moon. For issues regarding service, press 1. For questions about reality, press your palm against the speaker and think really hard. Please note, by remaining on the line, you agree to our terms and conditions and the premise that the universe is a flat, planet-sized disk that rests on the backs of 4 colossal elephants who, in turn, stand upon the shell of a giant turtle. Your call will be answered in the order it was received, unless you are the chosen one, in which case, you already know what to do.
Some folks believe that the Moth Hotel was designed as a school for objects. Chairs were taught patience. Ladders were lectured on humility. Spoons learned the fine art of discretion. The curriculum was rigorous. Carpets studied geometry. Mirrors endured long lessons in honesty. And wardrobes were required to pass exams in secrecy. The records are inconsistent. But one recurring story tells of a desk that excelled at philosophy, eventually refusing to hold papers because it was above such trivialities. A famously unruly carpet was expelled for whispering gossip about boots, and a disobedient broom was sentenced to sweep itself away. Skeptics argue that all of this is nonsense, pointing out that no object has ever displayed a diploma. Yet believers insist many everyday items still carry the faint air of their education. This may explain why your desk looks smug when you fail a task, or why a soup bowl sometimes seems to know more than it lets on. The last lesson allegedly taught at the school was on endurance. After that, the teachers vanished, leaving their students scattered in households everywhere. Which is why, if your chair creaks at night, it's not old. It's simply revising for an exam.
At the Moth Hotel, room service is famously slow, but that's because the staff are preoccupied with the linen cupboard on the 3rd floor. Strictly speaking, it isn't a linen cupboard anymore. Yes, there are towels stacked neatly in there, fluffy, absorbent, monogrammed, but tucked behind them, buzzing like an anxious wasp, is a time machine. Nobody knows who built it. The owner claims it came with the building. Original fittings, Edwardian plumbing, and a paradox generator. Guests aren't meant to know about it, but word seeps out. A businessman vanished last week after asking for an extra pillow. He reappeared 2 days earlier, slightly younger, insisting he'd only gone to fetch ice. The laundry staff refused to fold anything after midnight, in case they accidentally fold themselves into another century. Whatever you do, do not touch the blue towel on the top shelf.
Candles, my God, scented candles. You buy one. It says tranquility with a little picture of a lotus flower. You light it and suddenly your damn living room smells like a forest fire at a yoga retreat. Lavender mixed with smoke detector panic. And you sit there pretending you're calm when in fact you're calculating your escape route if the wax drips onto the carpet and starts a freaking fire. But people love it. They say, this one smells like an ocean breeze.
Welcome to Dial M for Merlot with Melton Thornaby. Today's guest wine is Screaming Eagle 2012 Cabernet Sauvignon, a cult Napa Valley bottle so rare one must sell a minor organ, or indeed a major one, to afford it. On the nose, ripe black currants stuffed into a tax auditor's briefcase. A note of pencil shavings, yes, as though the wine has been schooled in mathematics. Perhaps a whisper of violet, too, if the violet had been pressed in a solicitor's ledger. On the tongue, thick and luxurious, like sinking into a boardroom carpet soaked in blackberry juice. There is cassis, undeniably, but also the faint tang of rubber, reminiscent of deflated party balloons at a children's wake. Then comes the oak, stately, pompous, as though one is gnawing on the banister of a colonial mansion. Mid-palate gives a curious metallic glint, like kissing a trombone player with poor dental hygiene. Then, tobacco, cigar smoke, and a hint of suede jacket, soaked in regret. The finish is long, indulgent, American, like gargling cough syrup at a rodeo while someone sings the national anthem slightly out of tune. Splendid, appalling, unforgettable. The dog's bollocks.
Need to end a project, a plan, or an entire life choice? With Crumplify, you can screw up space, time, and reality into a tight, disposable wad and simply throw it away. One scrunch, and that awkward moment, job application, marriage, or tax fraud is instantly reduced to that never happened. Crumplify. Screw up your life and chuck it in the bin.
The train now standing at Platform 7 is the 1103 to Crumpletown, calling at Soggy Bottom, Whispering Turnip, Rusty Nail, Hollow Knuckle, Cracked Accordion, Drizzle Pond, Drizzle Pond Parkway, Tom Holland, Squinting Owl, Jitter's End, and Goblin's Knob. There is standing room only on this service.
I'm having the biscuit dreams again. Last night I was in a small, immaculate kitchen. Everything was slightly too perfect. The clock ticked like it was trying to remember something. I was making afternoon tea for someone I couldn't see. Each time I placed a biscuit on the saucer, it vanished, one by one. Hobnob, digestive, custard cream. Gone. I asked, "Where are they all going?" A voice from the kettle whispered, "Nowhere." That's the point. Then the walls began to peel, layers of fondant and foil, and behind them, shelves and shelves of unopened packets of jammy Dodgers. I tried to open one, but it screamed. I woke up holding a teaspoon, perfectly balanced on my palm. I don't own a teaspoon.
Hello, Jeff Goldblum here. I'm not in this episode.
Gemini, two choices will present themselves today. Take the third. You will overhear a conversation about yourself in a language you do not speak. Do not ask them to repeat it. The shadows have been rehearsing your movements. Try something unscripted. A letter from Richard Osman arrives with no stamp. You'll know what to do with it. Your reflection hesitates slightly. That's fine. Give it the room. Let it reflect in its own time.
For sale, one used exercise bike. Works fine, but emits a noise at night that sounds like your neighbors talking about you. Ideal for fitness enthusiasts who enjoy guilt and paranoia in equal measure. Please reply in ancient Latin. No time wasters.
Please comply with the following instructions to exit this podcast. Light a candle. If you have no candle, imagine one. If your imagination fails, this podcast is already over for you. Place the candle beside a locked box. If you do not own a locked box, don't worry. You will. Eventually, sing a lullaby to the box. Choose one your grandmother never sang to you. The box is sentimental, but also judgmental. Now listen carefully. The room just grew quieter. That's normal. The podcast is listening back. Write down your most recurring dream and fold it into the shape of a bird. Then close your eyes and ask yourself, what just happened? If you hear an answer, you've already exited. If you hear silence, remain seated. You will now be eligible to depart. But remember, once you've exited, there's no way to re-enter the podcast except via a loophole that will never be fully explained to you.
Moth Hotel was written and produced by Brian Luff. Music by Kevin MacLeod. voice technology by 11 Labs. All celebrity voices were impersonated. Moth Hotel was a Sowerby and Luff production for Studio Senseless. All complaints, confessions, and contributions should be emailed to mothhotel@studiosenseless.com.
The faint tang of rubber, reminiscent of deflated partle balloons. Sorry. The faint tang of rubber, reminiscent of deflated partle balloons. Party balloons. Come on, Melton, one more. The faint tang of rubber, reminiscent of deflated party balloons at a children's walk. Wake. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Sometimes the hotel fire alarm screams a single word. Again. Dian Tatin Team. Dai Ga.